Adam Pengilly, morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, Jared. Morning, gentlemen.
Wow, what a task as far as when you look at history is concerned for incentivise now in the Melbourne Cup. 1.5 kilos. What did you make of it?
Yeah, for Greg Carpenter, Jared, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't, doesn't he? In terms of what penalty he gave incentivise. The 1.5 kilos takes him up to 57. You look at the history of the Melbourne Cup, well, there's only one horse that's carried more than 57 kilos to win the race in the last 40-odd years, and that's Maccabi Diva. So having said that, it's probably a little bit of a different year for the Melbourne Cup this year, given the fact we're not going to have the international raiders coming down to Australia en masse. So some people can argue it might be a little bit of a weaker Melbourne Cup in terms of depth. So maybe he's earned that penalty. But I heard some good judges, in particular a guy like Dean Lester, said yesterday morning he thought incentivised should have got 2.5 kilos before the announcement was made. So, and some people argue, well, you're already hitting pretty hard after the Maccabi Diva. Why didn't they give him any more weight for the Caulfield Cup win? So it's a tricky balancing act for Greg Carpenter. He's still going to have to be a pretty good horse to carry 57 kilos to win a Melbourne Cup at his first try. And Peter Moody's trainer has basically said, listen, he's probably going to get one shot at winning a Melbourne Cup. It's this year. 57 kilos is going to be a fair bit. We're going to have to take it on. And I think even Peter said after that weight came out yesterday, it's probably a fair weight. So I think connections are probably reasonably satisfied with the 57 kilos, but he's still going to be a very, very steep ask for him to win the Melbourne Cup.
Well, clearly Tabs traders agree with Dean Lester because he went 250 into 230.
Yeah, no doubt, Jared, no doubt. And from what we've seen so far, he's showing all the signs that he will be able to carry that weight over 2 miles. He doesn't seem like he's going to stop. He's been strong through the line in all his runs so far this campaign. We know he's got that high cruising speed sitting on tempo. But having said that, it is a new pain threshold going to 2 miles. There's a big difference between being a good mile and a half horse as opposed to 2 miles. So he's going to have to tick that box. But from what we're seeing at the moment, all the signs are saying that he's going to be fine.
How's the Cox Plate shaping up for this weekend?
Yeah, final field will be declared a little bit later this morning. Laurie got some very key track work gallops at Moonee Valley a little bit later this morning. So I'm fascinated to see what the committee does with this race. Like, they're not going to get a full field of 14, I wouldn't have thought. And there's some suggestion they might only sort of take sort of 10 runners and exclude a couple who might be on the fringes. So they sort of like to pitch themselves with this exclusive race just for the best of the best. A couple of connections are desperately trying to make their case to get in the race. In particular, Matthew Smith's got the Japanese import. Kia Nortique, who hasn't won a race for a few years, but it was a Group 1. I thought his 2 runs in Australia so far have both been pretty good. Whether the committee want to take him in the race. And the other one is the 3-year-old for Trent Buston and Natalie Young in Forgot You. He was pretty good in the Caulfield Guineas, making ground from back in the field, hit the line strongly. We know the Moonee Valley committee love having 3-year-olds in the race. They've got Animo this year. They've got Captivon as well. Do they want to take another one? I'm not too sure, but it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out a little bit later this morning.
How long's Classique Legend out for, buddy?
Yeah, Clarkie, we won't be seeing him for the rest of the spring. So Les Bridges virtually confirmed, saying that Everest is pretty much a one-and-done run this spring. We know that Les has been playing catch-up for a few months now, trying to get him right for the Everest. And obviously with those 3 barrier trials, and what I thought was a really good run on Saturday in the Everest, Les has sort of said, nah, that's enough for him. He'll go to the paddock. We'll try and get him ready for the late autumn, maybe one lead-up run into the TJ Smith Stakes if he possibly can. So I think it was a great training performance by Les to get him to run fifth in that race on the weekend. I know he didn't defend his crown, but just given the hurdles he's had and trying to nurse that horse back to full health after that failed spin in Hong Kong has been a massive, massive battle for him. And I think he's going to try and look after the horse and see if he can come back and maybe run in a fourth Everest next year.
And we have our 12 runners for the inaugural invitation at Randwick on Saturday.
Yeah, we do, Jared. So this invitation's been finally issued to the connection. So the last 3 were Meteor Award for Chris Calthorpe, which came through on Sunday night. She's an interesting runner, isn't she? She's going to be first up in the invitation. She won that Australasian Oaks as her last start back in the late autumn, early winter. So they might find, or she might find this race a little bit too sharp for them. But Chris, speaking to him yesterday, said she's been working pretty well. Scrambling to try and find a jockey late last night. Struggling to find a jockey at this stage. Rock o'clock for John O'Shea. And the last invitation went to Tricky Gal for Matthew Smith. She was great in the Nivison there. Last start running second behind Minaj, and I think she deserves a shot in a race like this. So, fascinating race. I think Entrevier is going to start a pretty short price favourite, and deservedly so from what we've seen so far this campaign. She's pretty adaptable, wet or dry. She was great against the pattern there last start, and no doubt she's going to be hard in the market when they jump on Saturday.
Well, we know a couple of jockeys are already going down to Melbourne for this weekend, but what's Bossy going down there to make a permanent move?
Yeah, this caught me a little bit by surprise, Laurie. Bossy sort of said that the Everest meeting in Sydney there on the weekend, the last meeting he's going to be seen in Sydney for a fairly long time. He's decided for family reasons to move back to Melbourne. He's came back from Singapore, if you remember correctly, and he was tossing out whether to ride. He's had options in Queensland. He's thinking about Melbourne and decided to settle in Sydney. And you'd have to say it's been a pretty successful couple of years for him. I mean, he's ridden 8 Group 1 winners in the last couple of years. For a guy that's in his early 50s, he's won an Everest, won a Golden Eagle. yeah, he's had a pretty tough time the last couple of months, and his spring was just completely torpedoed by that quarantine drama when he was due to ride Incentivise and head down to Melbourne for the Spring Carnival. He went into quarantine up there in the Northern Territory and had a knock on the door saying, "Nah, you can't do this, head back to Sydney." And, you know, hasn't had much go his way in the last couple of months. In particular, he's going to ride Sir Dragonhead in the Cox Plate this week. And unfortunately, that horse passed away on the weekend. So, but for family reasons, Bossy says his wife, Sloane, wants to be close to their kids back in Melbourne. So he'll head back down there and try and make a permanent gig of it in Melbourne. And probably will only be seen sparingly up here in Sydney for some feature race rides.
Love your work, mate. Thank you.
See you, boys.